We are blessed tonight to continue our summer series of Dining with Jesus, and we're especially blessed to have Marcus Elliott and his family with us tonight. Marcus is married to the former Bethany Shields of Charlotte, North Carolina. They have three beautiful children, Mia, who is six, Marcus Jr., who is four, and Maverick, who is 4 months. This is our first chance to meet Maverick, and we're blessed to do that. Mark has been preaching since he was 12 years old. He was raised at the Northside Church of Christ and Lake City Church of Christ in Lake City, Florida. He's currently the preaching minister at the Crosstown Church of Christ here in Tulsa. He served in the capacity of youth minister, assistant minister, and minister, preached in 7 different states at gospel meetings, seminars, filling in for others. And he's a graduate of Ambridge University, and his hobbies include singing, fishing, and spending time with his wife and his kids. And his greatest love and joy is serving our glorious Lord and leading souls out of darkness into the marvelous light. And so we're blessed to have Marcus, and he's going to speak to us, I think, about Jesus being anointed by the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7. Marcus, the floor is yours.
So you changed my title. I was like, did I? Well, good evening. It is so good to be here tonight. I'm always excited to be here with you at Glenpool. I believe this is our 4th year here. I think our first year at Crosstown, I've been here. And then I think Bethany was pregnant. And then the next year, we had Mia and the baby. And then this year, you get a little surprise that we had a newborn. Like, where did that one come from, right? And so we're always blessed to be here at Glenpool. It's such a wonderful congregation. Now, always also encouraged to have seen young men leading singing and doing various things. That's such an encouragement to see that in the body of Christ. And so I'm so excited to be a part of the summer series here. And it's just an honor to keep getting invited back. So, amen. So tonight, I'm excited about your theme, Dining with Jesus. And one of the things I love about, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 7. I love about Luke is that Jesus never seemed to waste an opportunity to talk about Jesus or himself or pointing people to God. So whether he's going down a dusty road, he's on a boat, or he's gathered around a table, every moment became an opportunity to teach someone about the heart of God. And so that's exactly where we're all tonight in Luke chapter 7. It appears that this is an ordinary dinner that is about to happen. An ordinary dinner invite by a Pharisee by the name of Simon. He invites Jesus into his house. The table is prepared. The guests have arrived. The conversation has begun. Everything just seems normal. But if there's one thing that we've learned, when Jesus is involved, nothing stays normal when he's in the room. Amen. And so before this dinner is over with, as we're getting this context, an unexpected guest is walking through the door. The room is quiet. Questions will begin to rise. And the full truth of the heart will be exposed. And so Jesus is teaching a lesson that was needed for them, but it's also needed for the church today. And so we're sitting at the table of Simon tonight, and I want you to think of the question, not the question of what happened that day. But what I want you to think about is, what is Jesus trying to say about me? In this text tonight, as I studied this thing, there's a lot of stuff that is here. And if and I'm hoping that I have enough material. I was cutting a lot of stuff out thinking it was too much, but it'd be all right. And so what we got here is going to be good. And I pray that it is encouraging. So Luke chapter 7, we're going to start at verse number 36. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read 36 through 50. And then we will exegete these verses, and then the message will be yours tonight. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse number 36. The Bible says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whosoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even can forgive sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Your first point tonight, if you're taking notes tonight, a religious man who loved little. A religious man who loved little. As you're looking at verse number 36, as this account begins here, he introduces us to a man named Simon. It says there in verse 36, "And one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat to eat." And at first glance, to us, as we're looking at this, it doesn't seem like this is anything unusual. A man is inviting Jesus to dinner. Jesus accepts the invitation, and the meal begins. But I want you to understand and see tonight in this text that that it was something very specific that was pointed out. What was pointed out, Marcus? The first thing that was pointed out, that he wasn't just a man named Simon. He was a Pharisee. And so when you hear the word Pharisee, us, if we've been in the church for years, we read stories about the Pharisees, nothing good is going to come out of this from some Pharisees, right? The story always ends in a negative way. But I want you to put yourself in the first century for a second. A Pharisee. Pharisees were people who were admired. They knew the law. They memorized scriptures. They were respected for their devotion to God. And so if you're looking at someone who appeared righteous, Simon would have been the one that you would have looked at and said, "This was the person I want to be in my faith. If I want to have a stronger faith." It appeared that he was very religious. He was very devoted to God on the outside. And so if we were people looking on the outside, looking at Simon, we would say, "That's who I want to be like. I want to be like Simon." But I want you to understand tonight, as we're looking through this text, that just because someone looks religious doesn't always mean they're close to Jesus. Y'all missed that tonight. You'll get that when you get home. Let me help you again. It is possible for us to be religious and still miss Jesus. And so as we're talking about Simon tonight, Jesus accepted the invitation. He didn't refuse Simon because he was a Pharisee. He didn't say, "I know your motives." He didn't avoid the difficult people. Jesus was willing to sit at the table with Simon just as he was with Matthew. And so tonight we're going to see the heart of who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is one who came seeking people, the ones who are openly sinful and the ones who are outwardly religious that you couldn't see what they had going on in here. And so I want us to understand tonight, and the topic I was given was to focus on love, but I want you to see grace in this passage, that is the true love that God is trying to show us through this text. That is grace. What is grace? I want you to understand tonight, when God gives grace isn't God pretending that our sins aren't serious, because sin is serious. Grace is God loving us even though our sins are serious. Grace is God canceling a debt we could never repay. Grace is Jesus looking at a guilty sinner and saying, "I'll take your debt upon myself so that you can be free." Oh, that's a preacher. That can preach right there by itself. He took a debt so that we can be free. I hope there's some free people in here tonight. And so as the meal begins, everything seems peaceful. Everything's going good. The guests are reclined around the table. I want you to feel the text tonight. The guests are reclined around the table. Some of your versions may say, conversation has started. The food is being served. I can imagine Simon the Pharisee being very pleased with himself. After all, Jesus is eating in his house. And so everything is going exactly as Simon planned. And now here's the words I want you to see tonight in verse number 37. The Bible says this, and behold, oh, here it comes. Everything was going good. And then all of a sudden in verse 37, and behold, Luke is about to tell us, all right, y'all listen tonight. Don't miss it. Something unexpected is about to happen. And so the verse continues, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. And I want you to notice tonight in the Luke account, he does not tell us her name. He doesn't tell us where she lived. He doesn't tell us her family. He tells us how the city knew her. How did the city know her? She was a sinner. This is how everyone saw this woman. Her reputation had become her identity. Before we ever hear Jesus speak about this woman, Luke wants us to understand who this woman was. And when this woman behold herself into this place, imagine the silence and the tension that was about to happen in that room. You got a respected Pharisee who is devoted to God, who was religious, who had it all together. And then you have this sinful woman who had a reputation of being sinful. They are now in the same room. Imagine her walking in into his perfect little dinner. Everyone is watching because, oh, that's the city sinner right there. There she is. She come. What's she doing here? That's crazy. Everyone is wondering. I'm pretty sure some of us sometimes wonder like that too. And that'll be in my closing thoughts. So let me not get ahead of myself. But everyone is wondering, who is this sinner woman coming in? Why is she here? And verse 38 tells us she stood there in that room weeping. She walked in there. She stood in that room. And she's weeping. Tears begin to fall on his feet. Now, I want you to understand, where was she standing? She was standing behind Jesus. Now, where is our feet? It's in front, right? You got your heel back here. That lady had to have been crying. And as she was crying, she saw that his feet was getting wet, and she took her hair down and she wiped her feet, his feet, with her hair. And not only did she do that, she kissed his feet. Now, understand, they had dirty roads and things like that. His feet were dirty. And as we get through this text tonight, you'll see that he didn't have a great host. And so his feet were still dirty that night. But this woman, this sinner woman, came in. She was crying and she was crying and the tears were flowing. She getting on his feet, and she's wiping his feet off with her hair. She kissed his feet and then she anointed them with perfume. Now, I want you to imagine how weird this is. To me, this is weird. This lady walked in uninvited, guest, but she heard that Jesus was here, so she wanted to go there. And all these self-righteous folks were sitting there. No one's talking anymore when she walked in. The room is frozen silent, and Simon is sitting there watching. The guests are watching. What does Jesus do? They're watching this man, this prophet, if you will, simply letting her continue, this sinner continue to wash his feet. And I want you to notice something else. I think this is so fascinating, and you can go back and study this yourself. But I want you to see in this text tonight that instead of telling us what Simon said, the text tells us what he thought. He didn't even say it out loud. Have you ever, you know, someone just staring at you, you can feel the judgment all over their face? But see, Jesus, we're not Jesus. Jesus knew what he was thinking up here. In verse 39, it says, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself in the inside, he never opened his mouth. He didn't have to. Jesus knew exactly what was happening up here. And so remember, I talked about that person that you're looking at. Man, I want to be just like them when I grow up in my faith walk. You don't know what's going on in here. People look good. People play church. Just because you look good and you're playing a part, you put the suit on and you say the right things, you got your Bible all shined up and all that, that doesn't mean anything. So let me move on. I'm sorry. Let me move on. And so Simon thought, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. That is the judgment there. He is judging, number one, that this woman is a sinner. Number two, he's judging Jesus, saying if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. And then the third thing, I want you to notice this tonight. This is the man who loved little, right? He was excusing himself from the situation. She's a sinner. This man can't be a real prophet because he would know what kind of woman's touching him. And then he made himself different. I'm not like them. I am more acceptable to God. I'm not that sinner woman. I'm not this man sitting here and let this sinner woman wipe his feet with the hair and anoint him with oil with perfume. I am better than them. I am more acceptable before God. That's a Pharisaical attitude, isn't it? But I want you to understand tonight that Jesus came to show that true holiness isn't contaminated by sinners. It transforms sinners. That's good. The more those who are outside of Christ is around those in the body of Christ, that thing becomes contagious. Holiness, righteousness, it becomes contagious in their life. And many times we find, just like this attitude here, they separated themselves from those sinner folks instead of trying to help them see the right way so they can be transformed just like they are transformed. Simon is looking at this woman and saw past her. But Jesus looks at the woman. He saw someone who was created in the image of God who desperately needed Jesus. Simon saw someone contaminated with sin. Jesus saw compassion on her. Now, why do you say all this, Marcus? This is all good tonight. Now, you know, why are you saying this? I want you to see yourself in a mirror. Simon's problem wasn't that he hated Jesus. He respected Jesus, but he did not treasure him like he should. He invited Jesus into his house, but he never truly welcomed him up in here. You get what I'm saying? And if we're honest tonight, that is some of us in here tonight. We attend worship service on Sunday. We know the songs. We know the scriptures. We know when to stand. We know to sit down. We know when to be quiet. We know when we know all the stuff. We go through these motions. We go through the routine. We go through these habits. We get real familiar with the cross. But sometimes we become too familiar that we are admiring who Jesus is instead of truly loving who he is. That's Simon. He knew the scriptures. He knew all those things. Matter of fact, he was sitting at this table. He was close enough to Jesus sitting at this table. But imagine sitting at the table with Jesus, but your heart is still far from him. I want to propose tonight that one of the greatest dangers isn't that we reject Jesus outright. It is that we become too familiar with him that we stop being amazed by him. We talk about the cross. Get around the Lord's table. We talk about what he's done for us. But we've become so immune to it because it's a routine thing. And to feel the emotion behind what Jesus did and to appreciate it and to really internalize that. That's a different thing because we've heard it. We've heard the Lord's Supper. We've heard, yeah, he died on the cross for our sins. Okay. That's a big thing. And it's a hard thing when we become people who just, that doesn't really mean much anymore. Luke is inviting us tonight to ask a question. Have we become too familiar with Jesus? Or is he still precious to you? Because when you're looking at this dinner and you're looking at Simon, he looked like he knew him. He looked like he knew all the things, but his heart was not in the right place. As we go through this text tonight, I want you to understand that one understood that they needed grace, and the other one thought that I'm good. I don't need it anymore. And that really changes the way we look at this text. So I want you to understand and get in this mindset tonight. Simon is sitting there evaluating Jesus and judging Jesus as this woman is doing what she's doing. And this broken woman heard that Jesus was there. Mama, I'm in church. Stop calling me. This broken woman heard that Jesus was there. If you look at the text, she was told that he was there, and she couldn't stay away from him. I'm going to have to make a sermon about that. Can't stay away from him. She simply wanted to come to the one that she could believe can do something for her that no one else can do for her. So that's where Luke takes us next. The next part, point number two, a broken woman who loved much. And so looking at back at verse 37 and 38, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment." We're sitting in the room. The room is silent. As soon as she walked in, all the conversation has started. Every eye is fixed on this woman. Simon is wondering, why is she here? The guests are wondering, why is she here? And yet the woman is not even worried about all those folks that are staring at her. She didn't come for Simon. She didn't come for the guests. She came because Jesus was there. Again, I said the text says this, when she learned that he was reclining at the table, she learned about this. Someone told her that Jesus was there, and that's all that she needed to know. She wasn't invited. She definitely wasn't welcome. She wasn't expected to be there, but because Jesus was there, that's where she wanted to be. And I want you to hear this tonight. That's something amazing, that when where broken people are, they belong where Jesus is and at his feet. At his feet, that's where mercy is found. At his feet, that's where forgiveness is found. At his feet, that's where hope is found. That's why she came to the place. She didn't worry about all them other self-righteous folks. And I want you to see, she didn't come by herself. She came bringing some gifts. And I think that's important, because Simon wasn't doing what he was supposed to in their culture. But this lady, she brought an alabaster flask, a fragrant ointment. It wasn't something that she just picked up on the way. That is something she came prepared with. She intended to honor Jesus. Luke says she begins to weep, and the tears are flowing freely. They're falling at the feet of Jesus. And I want to ask you tonight, when was the last time you were just overwhelmed by the goodness of God? Have you ever just stopped to think that without God's grace, where would we be at in our walk? I think it's interesting that we sing songs about amazing grace, and we sing all these songs. And I want us to ask, when we sing Amazing Grace, are we still amazed by it? This woman, she is having tears falling from her face. Something that words could never express. And I can imagine, if I'm standing there knowing that I'm coming to the Savior who can forgive my sins, and I'm crying, I know no one else accepts me. I'm the outsider. I'm the one people are looking down at. I'm crying tears. Thank you, God. I don't deserve none of this. I know who I am. I know what I've done. I know all these things. But you, God, you, Jesus, can forgive me. This lady, she wasn't concerned about preserving her image. She was concerned about honoring Jesus. Who cares about what Simon thought? Who cares about what the guests were whispering about? She didn't care how awkward it was. And I think it gets even more awkward because it says that she kissed his feet. It's like, it's very weird. But she helped it out a little bit. She poured some perfume on it because I can imagine that it was stank. She poured some perfume on there. And I want you to understand that everything that she was doing was honoring Jesus. Her tears are saying he is worthy. Every kiss is saying he is worthy. Every drop of perfume that she prepared and brought saying he is worthy. And that's what grace does when we know and understand what Jesus has done for us. He is worthy. There are times where we have found ourselves just loving ourselves. We loved our sin. We loved who we were. But when we encounter Jesus, we see that his affection and his love and his grace changes and has changed who we once were. We begin to love the one who loved us first. And I see this woman, she is not concerned about who she is, her dignity. She is captivated by the dignity of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you tonight, when was the last time you were captivated by Jesus? When was the last time when you thought about Jesus in your life, you're just moved and you're just fascinated. You're just so in love with him. And I'm not talking about checking a box because I came to worship on Sunday. I came to Bible class or I knew the right answer. I'm talking about understanding that when I'm in a room that nothing else matters but him. I hope that makes sense. Because many times we go through the motions, we sing 777, whatever it is, I'm just making up a song, but it doesn't mean absolutely nothing to us. When are we connecting to it? Are we really praising God and glorifying God for his goodness and his mercy and his grace? Luke wants us to see tonight a woman who had every reason to stay away because of who was in that room, couldn't stay away from Jesus. While everyone else saw this woman as a scandal, as a sinner, as that city woman that's the sinner over there, Jesus saw a heart that can be transformed. It's interesting because that Pharisee, that religious person, didn't understand any of it. He's sitting at his table and looking at what's happening, like, none of this makes any sense. Why is she acting this way? And why is this man, this prophet, allowing her to do this? And it's because Jesus is going to use this story to teach them something about themselves. And so point number three is this, the story that changed the dinner. So up to this point, Simon hasn't said a single word. Everything that has happened was in his mind. He had judged a woman. He had questioned Jesus. He had assumed he knows exactly what's happening. And then verse number 40, the Bible says, and Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon never asked a question. He never spoke out loud. But Jesus answered him anyway. I think that's very interesting. Before Simon ever opened up his mouth, Jesus already knew his heart. I think that's a good reminder for us tonight. You can't hide anything from God because God knows everything. He knows what we say. He knows what we do. He knows what we think. And Simon thought he was evaluating Jesus, but the whole time Jesus was evaluating Simon. And the Bible says here, Simon, I have something to say to you. And then Simon says, teacher, say what you got to say. And then Jesus tells him one of the simplest parables you can find in the Gospels, but it's full of just so much powerful things. In verse 44 here, it says, a certain moneylender had two debts. People who are indebted, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Now I can see Simon, he is picturing this story. One debt was 10 times larger than the other one. And the story really isn't about the size. And then verse 42, it continues and says this, when they could not pay. They couldn't pay it. They couldn't pay the debt, not one of them. The man who owed 50, the man who owed 500, they could not pay it. But and the amount was different. And I want you to understand, the amount was different, but the condition was the same. Stay with me tonight. I'll let you out in about 15 more minutes. Amen. The condition was the same. They both were bankrupt. They had no way to pay the debt. And they were entirely at the mercy of the lender. I want you to propose to you tonight that every one of us in this room tonight, sometimes we compare sins. My sin is not as bad as what they're doing. I've never done what they did. I live a respectable life. And I believe Simon would agree with all that best. But I want you to understand that Jesus is looking at this woman. And Simon is looking at this woman. He said, I'm not like her. But Jesus is telling him, Simon, you're looking at the wrong thing. Just because the debt is larger or the debt is smaller, you are still at the mercy of the lender. Oh, that's something you missed tonight. That's good. It don't matter what kind of sin or how big or how small it is, you still got to answer to God. Neither one of them could pay the debt. Some people's sin are more visible than others. Some people's lives carry more public scars. Some people's stories are messier than others. But every one of us has to stand before God unable to pay our own debt. We all need God's grace. And then in verse 42, Jesus asked the question, now which of them will love him more? Now you already know what the Pharisee was going to say. Of course, the person with the bigger debt. And Jesus said, well, you know, you finally said something right. I also want you to notice something in verse 44 here in the text. Simon gets something right, but he still hasn't gotten the point of what Jesus is trying to tell him. And so in verse 44, imagine Jesus is turning away from him and he is turning toward the woman, but yet he's still speaking to Simon. That is crazy. He turns toward the woman. His eyes are on her. But his words are for Simon. He never loses sight of the one who came seeking for his mercy and his grace. He's correcting the one who needed the true conviction in his walk. Jesus begins comparing Simon and the woman, not to embarrass Simon, but to expose what Simon had failed to see. He says, "Do you see this woman?" That's funny. Of course he sees the woman. He's been watching her the entire time from the moment she walked in to the room. But the point is that he hadn't really seen the woman. He saw her reputation. He saw her past. He saw that she was a sinner. But Jesus saw that she was repentant. He saw her faith. He saw a soul. And as she had entered into the house, "You gave me no water. I entered into a Pharisee's house." It is customary that the Pharisee Simon, would have gave him some water to wash off all the dirt off his feet. That was cultural. That was a part of what they were supposed to do. That was basic hospitality. Simon didn't do it. But this woman, she wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Simon failed to do that, but she did. He continues to say, "You gave me no kiss." That is a customary sign of greeting for that culture. He didn't do it. But from the time that she came in, she did not cease to kiss his feet. That means it wasn't just one kiss, just so if y'all didn't get that. And then he says, "You did not anoint my head with oil." Again, that was something hospitality they would have done. But yet she had anointed my feet with ointment. What do you see Jesus doing? He is comparing two hearts. One that was prideful and the other one that was humble. And then verse 47, it says this, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, love little." I think it's interesting when you're talking about grace. They loved the Savior who gave it. And I think that's the point that he's trying to make tonight, that you have to love him who gave us grace. Simon's problem wasn't that God had forgiven him less. His problem was that he think he didn't need much forgiveness. The woman knew exactly what she had been. She knew exactly who she was. And when she came to Jesus, she knew how broken she was. I don't want to hear that bell. She knew. I wonder if sometimes our faith grows so cold because we feel that we don't need it as much. We don't need that. We're good. I'm religious. I know the stuff. I'm doing the right thing. And I think it's an error for us to forget how forgiven we truly are. When we lose sight of the greatness of our debt that we had, that we brought to the feet of Jesus, we lose sight of our great Savior. When we remember the cross, we remember the blood, we remember that Jesus canceled a debt that we could never pay, our hearts can't help but respond in love to him. The more clearly we see that we need him, the more deeply we'll fall in love with him. And so that brings to my last point tonight, that I think is one of the most beautiful things that's said in this text. Everything is building up to this last point tonight. The room had grown cold. Jesus told this parable. Simon's heart had been exposed. This woman is still at the feet of Jesus. Every eye in the room is now fixed on him. And Jesus says this in verse 48. He says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. This woman who's been known for years as a sinful woman, that's who she was. That was her reputation. That's how people talked about her around the town. This woman that everywhere she went, people knew and judged her by the things she's done in her past. Jesus says, "You're forgiven." And tonight, I want you to understand tonight that the world says to you, you'll never change. But Jesus says that you're forgiven. The world says that your past defines who you are. But Jesus says, no, 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 listen here. I will make you something new. He offers a brand new beginning for us tonight. And I want you to understand that forgiveness isn't pretending that sin has never happened. Forgiveness isn't ignoring guilt. Forgiveness is God removing a debt that we could never remove for ourselves. This is exactly what Jesus is illustrating here. The debt has been canceled. And he says in this text, your sins have been forgiven. And I love the fact that he doesn't say some of your sins or just the small ones. He says all of your sins are forgiven. That is the grace and the wonderful love of Jesus. That's why he came. He went to the cross. He shed his blood, not to make bad people better, but to make people who are dead in their sins alive again. Now, I know y'all closing your book up, but I got one more verse here for you. In verse number 49, it says this, "Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?'" Now, remember earlier, Simon questioned whether Jesus was really a prophet, and the guests are asking something bigger. Who is this person? Only God can forgive sin. And of course, throughout the Old Testament, sin was ultimately against God. Only God can remove that guilt. Only God can forgive. And Jesus is saying to them, your sins are forgiven. And I want you to see here in this text tonight, I'm just going to scroll down here tonight in my notes. I want you to see here tonight, there was different types of people in this story. There was Simon who loved little. There was the lady who was broken. And then there was the guest. Who is this that you can forgive this person? And I want you to ask yourself tonight in this text, which person are you? Are you Simon, who is religious, who is respectable, who is close enough to hear Jesus' words, but it never really transformed his heart? Have you become too familiar with Jesus that you have lost the wonder and amazement of him, and that you're really not close to him like you should be? I'm doing the things, I'm saying the right things, I look the part. I'm pretending like I got it all together, but yet I'm not. Maybe in this story tonight, maybe you see the wrong hero. Simon is definitely not the hero. The woman is not the hero. Jesus is the hero. He welcomed everyone. Even if they rejected him, he welcomed the ones who were condemned. He welcomed the ones who others wrote off. And I'm thankful that the same Jesus who was in that house is the same Jesus today. No matter what you've done, he is inviting us at the table for forgiveness and for his grace and for his mercy and for his love. And even if you're in that shoes tonight, you know the songs, you know the scripture, but you're far from him. God is calling you to get close to him. Come back, fall in love with me, not just the idea of me. Maybe tonight you feel like that woman. You're carrying some guilt and there's some weight in your life. You carry regret because of what you've done. I want you to see in this story tonight that Jesus forgave her. He can forgive you too. You just have to be obedient to him. And there was the last verse that says, now go in peace. You can go in peace when you're in a right relationship with God because he loves you so much. He's giving you grace and his mercy. Let's pray tonight. Father God, we love you. We thank you for everything you do for us. We're so thankful for your love and your grace and your mercy. Father, we're in awe of you because we are just people who came before you as filthy rags, not deserving of anything. But you declare us deserving. You declare us to be able to have a relationship with you because you love us. You gave us grace. You gave us mercy. Father, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for paying a debt that we could never pay. Father, let us never lose sight of that you caused us to be free. It's not anything that I did. It's because of what you did. God, help us if we've grown cold, if we've gotten through the motions and going through the motions routine. Father, help us to get out of that and to be better and to do better. God, if someone's here tonight that has fallen short, God, help them to see your grace and your mercy, that they can be forgiven, that can live in freedom and clear mind, that you're a merciful God and you can forgive them and they don't have to be weighed down and burdened with those things. God, I ask you as we leave this place tonight that we will be a beacons of light in this community and that wherever we live, that others will see you in us. They want to know more about you and your son and that grace that you give us. God bless us, be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.